This Janet Mefford Today podcast is sponsored by Heart for Lebanon, the Christian ministry working among 2 million Syrian refugee families who've been displaced. For just $29 a month, you can help Heart for Lebanon reach out in Jesus' name to a family of six, providing them with food, Christian education, survival essentials, and the gospel. Please call now, 888-247-5499. That's 888-247-5499 or janetmefford.com.
This is Janet Mefford Today.
Our confidence is in Christ alone.
Are we going to stand with God, come what may?
If the Word of God says it, I believe it.
And that's the way it is.
And now, here is Janet Mefford.
Welcome, everybody. Great to have you with us. We have seen many statistics lately about Americans increasingly failing to identify with any religion. But a recent report from the Pine Tops Foundation puts a far more sober face on church attrition, indicating that by the year 2050, the percentage of Americans who label themselves as Christians will drop significantly from 73% to 59%. And about 35 to 42 million members of Generation Z could leave the church altogether. This is devastating. And these are statistical projections that my next guest is working hard to ward off, especially at an outreach event that is coming up on October 12th. Greg Steer is founder and CEO of Dare to Share and is all about raising up teenagers to reach their generation with the hope of Jesus Christ. He is here to talk about what he and his team are doing to fulfill the Great Commission into the next generation. And it's so good to welcome you back, Greg. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, Janet. Thanks for letting me on.
Always nice to talk to you. Tell us a little bit more about this report. I gave a few statistics from this great opportunity, is the name of this report that just came out from Pine Tops Foundation. But what was your reaction to it? What were the big takeaways for you besides what I had mentioned about the projections on Gen Z?
Well, another way to put those projections is over a million teenagers per year leaving the church between now and 2050.
Wow.
Unless we act now. And one of the statistics that said if we went back to the retention and evangelism rates of Generation X 20 years ago, that we would gain back 16 million of those teenagers. And so the urgency is to really mobilize teenagers now to reach their own peers with the gospel of Jesus Christ. One of the conclusions of the Pine Tops report is we have to equip our Christian teens, know their faith, but also to reach their friends with the gospel and to really kind of start playing offense. I think so many times we play defense as Christians. Let's just make sure that we're, you know, our kids know what they believe and why they believe. I think that's half the equation. The other half is we want them to actually reach their peers with the gospel. And I'm not content just to slow down the bleeding. I want to see an incline of the church. I want to see the Generation Z rise up and reach their generation with the gospel. One revival can turn those stats on their head.
That would be
and
great.
And so that's what we're praying for and pushing for.
Have you seen a steady difference when you're going through the different generations, you know, Generation X and then the millennials, now on into Generation Z? We've seen, at least according to a lot of these statistics, a decline going worse and worse and worse as the kids get younger and younger. And I'm wondering what some of the reasons are for that. What have you observed about what is going on causing that? Other than, obviously, it's always a spiritual thing that's going on, but are there particular trends that you're seeing that are troubling and adding to the problem?
Well, I think, you know, this generation, more than ever, is just really assaulted through social media, through the media. I mean, there's messages everywhere. And as a result of that, you know, the exclusive message of Jesus that he is the way, the truth, the life, no one comes to the Father except through him, it just gets drowned out by all the noise.
Yeah.
And in this particular culture, to think that Jesus is the only way can often sound arrogant. But what we try to do is that on the positive side, we found Generation Z to be very causal and also to be very spiritual. And so if we can reframe Christianity as a relationship with God, not a religion, and Jesus, the story of Jesus is the ultimate love story that God so loved the world, he sacrificed his son to be with us. And then our mission is to proclaim that message to the world. What I find is actually Generation Z, this current generation of teenagers, they really resonate with that.
Good.
But I think we have to reframe things and really you know, call them to rise up and go, speak out.
Greg, going back to the way things have been done, there have been a lot of different approaches that have been tried over the years to reach teenagers with the gospel. And we've all lived through church youth groups and things like that. But I lived through them and enjoyed them sometimes, and other times didn't like so much what was going on. But what would you say about the current approach to youth ministry and where you think that approach has been that has been unhelpful or maybe helpful? What's good? What's bad? What should we move away from given these statistics?
So first of all, let me just qualify. I love youth ministry. I love youth leaders. But we have inherited a system that is really built on entertainment. If we can do fun enough games, if we can have the coolest youth room, you know, skinny jeans and fog machines, we'll bring the kids in. Here's the challenge with that. We have less seniors than juniors, less juniors than sophomores, less sophomores than freshmen, because teenagers are busier than ever. And I think there's a point where they're like, you know what, I don't have any time for fun and games anymore. I have to get ready for college. I have a job. But if we reframe Christianity as the ultimate cause, making and multiplying disciples, what we have found is teenagers will find a way to be a part of it. They'll fit it into their schedule.
Great.
And so I think they're done with fun and games, but they're longing for mission. They're longing for meaning. And, so we say, hey, stop human trafficking. Yes. And stop soul trafficking. Give somebody bread who's hungry and give them the bread of life. You know, build them a house here on earth and build them one in heaven. So the youth leaders that we see doing that are getting serious youth groups, and they still have some fun and games, and we're not against that.
Right.
But boy, they're there for a mission, and that is to reach this world for Christ.
It's so important. So you've got Dare to Share Live coming up. I know we've talked about this in previous years. It's always an exciting time for you guys. Explain for people what that's all about. That's coming up October 12th.
Yeah, so it's crazy because nobody's doing this. This is a live simulcast for teenagers in an outreach event. Where students are trained and equipped and mobilized. We have 102 cities signed up from Anchorage, Alaska to Puerto Rico. It's a 8 a.m. Alaska start. It's a noon Puerto Rico start because it all happens simultaneously. Kids are connected through the Dare to Share Live app. So a kid in Puerto Rico can talk to a kid in San Diego because they're getting the same training at the same time. And then we all get equipped to share the gospel. We give the gospel in case somebody doesn't know Christ. We train them. And then we inspire them and we mobilize them to go out and collect canned food and share Christ. You can see a map of the U.S. on the Dare to Share Live app light up with all the thousands of gospel conversations happening. And then after that, 10 days after, we'll do a training for the youth leaders via webinar to train them how to keep this going year round. How do you turn Dare to Share Live from an event to a movement? And so it is, it's crazy and it's awesome. And we've done it the last 2 years. It's growing every year. And so two things. One, I would ask everybody to set their phone alarm for 10:12 every day to pray for revival on October 12th. Let's turn these stats around. Two, get your church involved. Just go to daretosharelive.org. See the closest satellite site near you. If there's not one near you, you can get a stream straight into your church, and let's be a part of this movement, and let's reach every teen everywhere. Let's have every teen everywhere have every last chance to put their faith in Christ.
Well, that is neat. How do you do the training via app? I'm sure there are a lot of us older people who are going, this whole newfangled thing with apps, we like apps, but how does that go on? How do you do evangelism training in that way? Because that's very, movement forward. This is really exciting what you're doing.
Well, actually, it's a three-screen experience is what we call it. So the first screen is the stream that's going into the church auditorium where students are gathered together from that city getting trained and equipped. So that's live from Denver, that stream, right? The second screen is actually training happening in those rooms because we have trainers in every room from those communities doing live training in addition to the stream coming in. And then the third screen is their phone. And that's when they're connecting. Like during the training, they can connect and send messages to students across the nation because they're getting the same training at the same time. So it's very multi-flavored training. It's not just your phone screen. It's not just happening on the stage in the church that you're sitting in. it's coming in live from Denver as well.
So that's
exciting. It's a fast moving, fun event.
Very cool. Well, we're going to come back after this break. Greg Steer with us from Dare to Share. We're going to come back on Janet Mefford Today right after this. Don't go away. Hi, this is Janet Mefford. Let me tell you about Gofran and Khalid. They're refugee brothers who were orphaned during the Syrian war, and now they live in a tent in a farmer's field in Lebanon. It's a sad situation. But every other week when Heart for Lebanon's Hope on Wheels educational fun truck shows up, they're usually right on the front row singing worship songs and reciting Bible verses. In the middle of despair, Gofran and Khalid are finding hope in Jesus. But this only happens as you give. $29 a month will help bring Christian education, food, and survival essentials to boys like this and their families. Call 888-247-5499. That's 888-247-5499, or there's a banner to click at janetmefford.com. For just 98 cents a day, you can help a refugee family of six for an entire year through the great work that Heart for Lebanon does every single day. Please call now, 888-247-5499, 888-247-5499, or janetmefford.com. Are you among the millions of Americans who feel uncertain when it comes to your health care? As a Christian, are you looking for health care that doesn't violate your morals and convictions? Well, we're happy to inform you that there is a solution, and that solution is Liberty HealthShare. Liberty HealthShare is a community of like-minded Christians who work together to pay for their medical costs. It allows you to decide how, when, and where you will access health care so you can make the best choice for you and your family. Starting at $199 a month for a single, up to $529 a month for a family. That's mom, dad, and all the kids. This is how healthcare should be. For more information, call 855-585-4237 or visit lightyourliberty.com. That's lightyourliberty.com, and regain control over your healthcare costs. 855-585-4237 or lightyourliberty.com. Together, we're changing healthcare for good. To Janet Mefford Today. My guest is Greg Steer, founder and CEO of Dare to Share. And coming up on October 12th, there will be a Dare to Share live event. Really exciting, mobilizing teenagers in 102 cities across America. And the whole goal is to get them to rise up and reach out to transform their own generation with the gospel of Jesus Christ. The harvest is really ready. And it's a really good thing that you guys are doing there, Greg. You mentioned before that you've done it for a few years now, and you were just describing some of the ways that it happens, these screens that are available through this app that you're using on October 12th. When we're talking about training teenagers, though, to reach their peers, naturally, I think this is true across the spectrum. Anytime a Christian is confronted with having to share the gospel or having the opportunity to share the gospel with someone he or she knows, it can be a little intimidating. And I'm wondering how you help teenagers get past that fear of talking to their friends. We shouldn't be fearful, but that fear of evangelism that so often crops up for any Christian.
You know, that's a great question. And one of the things that we do is focus on why. Because I think this generation of teenagers really doesn't, you know, think a lot about why it's important to share the gospel. And when you really help them understand, so I do a little talk called, you know, a call from above, that Jesus calls us to make disciples, yeah. A whisper from within, you know, that compassion for people that are living life without Christ. How do people exist without a relationship with their creator, their savior, their heavenly father? I have no idea. I really don't know how people make it in this world. It's hard enough, right?
Yeah.
Let alone without Christ. And then a scream from beneath, the reality of hell. I remember I was talking about hell just in passing at a youth group event, and a teenager came up to me and she goes, why has my youth leader never talked to me about the reality that my friends that die without Christ are going to spend an eternity in hell? I need to tell them. She goes, my goodness, this is so important. And she was actually upset that a youth leader never talked to her about the reality of hell. And I think this generation is longing for motivation. Yep. And when you really help them understand what is at stake and the privilege it is to share the gospel and the good news that it is and the consequences for those who do not hear the gospel and put their faith in Christ, they're intensely motivated. Now, we use drama, we use video, we use everything at our disposal to motivate kids. And then we really teach them to pray. So listen, if you're terrified right now, good. Because it's going to make you pray.
Yep.
So before we go out, we pray, God, fill us with your Holy Spirit. Give us boldness. And these kids, when they come back, we have a saying for it at Dare to Share. When they come back from the outreach experience, it's the sound of evangelism in every one of these sites. It's like a dance party. And because they're so excited that the Spirit of God used them to articulate the message of the gospel with their friends and with people in that city. So it really is cool, Janet.
Oh, it's so needed. And I'm glad to hear that story because that is so true. It's often the case, I think, that kids want hard truth more than a lot of adults think they do. You know, and yeah. it's incidents like that. When you hear the story, you think to yourself, well, of course, that makes sense. If my unsaved friend will go to hell if he died tonight, I need to share the gospel. I mean, I need to do it anyway, yeah. but especially because, I mean, this is the thing. When you look at some of these suicide rates, the opioid crisis, a lot of these things seen in the news, it is not the case that you're guaranteed to grow up. And I don't mean to be a downer by that, Greg. I know you know what I'm talking about here.
Yeah.
But I think there are a lot of kids who think, I'm a teenager. I'm going to live forever, like we all did when we were teenagers. And yet we can all probably name somebody we knew who died young. That's the scary part. You don't know that you have a whole life to live. You know what I'm saying?
That's exactly right. And right now, with the suicide rates at a record high, depression, you know, the average teenager, according to Psychology Today, the average 15-year-old has as much anxiety as the average psychiatric patient of the 1950s.
Oh.
And I think that's why, and what Instagram, and I'm not an anti-social media guy, but what a lot of that does is it creates anxiety and comparison with teenagers, and we have to get them, you know, what I tell the youth teenagers is we need to save our friends from the hell they're headed to and the hell they're going through right now.
Mm-hmm.
And the only thing that can do that is a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, believing that he died for you on the cross, rose again, trusting in him alone, and you enter into a relationship that won't just get your ticket punched to heaven. It'll give you a reason to live and not commit suicide, and not only not commit suicide, to live your life to the full, and not only live your life to the full, but reach your friends who aren't thinking about suicide and who are headed to hell. We need that, and kids get so excited when they get that. I think so many times, you know, we don't frame the gospel as a cause, and this is a cause generation. And this is the ultimate cause. We don't even call the Great Commission at Dare to Share, because to a teenager, Great Commission sounds like a bunch of money you made on a real estate deal, right? But for what they get excited about is the cause. So we call this the cause that all of us are called to. And Dare to Share Live, we live that out, man. And it is so exciting.
It is great.
We need, man, prayer support. And, you know, if you're on this, you know, listening, you're a youth leader, a pastor, or a grandmother, or a mom, or a dad, boy, get every teenager you know to be a part of it, because we have 102 satellite sites across the nation, and it's a party waiting to happen on October 12th. Party with a purpose.
Terrific. It's daretosharelive.org, the website. Dare2sharelive.org. What about youth pastors who are listening or senior pastors who are listening who say, I'd really like to get our whole church involved in this event and find out more? What would you say to those churches about their involvement and how they can participate?
Yeah, I would say, you know, it's a youth group event, but if adults want to come, they could come as adult leaders to the event. The way we work it, the church pays one fee and all the kids go free. So all the students can come, they can bring a friend. And we really, it's a really a student event. You get too many adults in the room and it freaks out teenagers. We would say you want to keep the majority teenagers, but everybody can be involved praying for October 12th and that God would do a mighty work that day. Also, on that day, we're going to be re-releasing our new Life in 6 Words app, with a ton of functionality, which is an evangelism app that everyone can download on October 12th and use with their own peers. It's going to be great.
That's terrific. Greg, looking back on past years when Dare to Share Live took place, what sort of fruit have you seen that has been born out of previous years that can really kind of build on this upcoming event on October 12th?
You know what? We've seen it every single year. Are tons of kids that have put their faith in Christ, right? And then they share their faith. They come back the next year to one of our events with somebody else that they've led to Christ. So what we're seeing is teens who are reaching teens and discipling teens and youth group, youth leaders, quite honestly, that are reinvigorated. I was sitting in a room two nights ago with youth leaders in Portland, and this one, big church, these three youth leaders were there, and he looked at me and he's like, why are we not doing this? And not Dare to Share Life, but this gospel advancing philosophy. He goes, I repent of my view of youth ministry. I need to be about making and multiplying disciples, not just meetings.
Yeah.
And he goes, I'm in. I don't even know what it means yet, but I'm in. So what we're seeing is, you know, what we call a radical awakening to a paradigm that's 2,000 years old, but feels brand new. And it really is the book of Acts unleashed through the next generation and through our youth ministries. And that's what's exciting. We didn't develop this stuff. We discovered it in the book of Acts, and it's just being unleashed. And I think it's time. You know, the first great awakening, Janet,
yes,
led to a movement that really prepared America to be a republic.
Yes, yes.
I believe this next great awakening can bring the United States back through a generation of young people that are on fire for Christ. At the very minimum, I just want to see the church be the church and on fire.
Me too.
And students leading the way.
Me
too. The foolish things of this world to confound the wise.
Oh, I couldn't agree more with you, Greg. And you look at what these kids are getting in this generation, not just the onslaught of internet nonsense and porn and all the rest of the stuff that's coming after them, you know, nonstop. But you think about just the worldview that's so popular that they're being taught falsely. You know, you were not created by God. You know, you came out of the primordial ooze. You just evolved. Your life doesn't have any meaning. And if you do commit suicide or you do die, it doesn't really matter because you're not going to go anywhere. If we could see the Lord work in the lives and the hearts and the minds of these kids, that's the next generation of the church. I mean, then yeah. You have a church that is revitalized. And I just talk to a lot of Christians day by day by day who say, we really need a revival in our churches. That would be a terrific way if the Lord could use this for his glory in the lives of these kids to inject, you know, the fresh move of the Holy Spirit in all of our churches.
Yep.
And I'm praying for that all the time. That would be wonderful.
Well, and we're praying for it and pushing for it. We're putting in the pipeline with Dare to Share Live and our tools and resources and asking God to turn on that faucet, you know, and make it happen. It's, you know, Spurgeon, he built one of the largest churches in the world in the worst part of London. And they asked him why. And he said, if you want to start a fire in a house, set the fire in the basement because fire burns up. And I say, if you want to set a church on fire, start the fire in the youth room because fire burns out. And if we can see our teen set on fire, I think every adult, every dad, every mom, every grandparent, every elder, every deacon, every pastor gets super pumped when they see young people on fire for Christ, and it convicts them. And if we can see Dare to Share Live be part of that trigger for an awakening across the United States, and let it burn through our churches, boy, that would be payday for me.
Absolutely. Well, we will certainly be praying about it. And people can go to daretosharelive.org if you know a student or you are a student who wants to participate on October 12th. Go there now. It's daretosharelive.org. Greg Steer with us. Greg, God bless you. Thank you so much for being with us, and hope it goes well. We'll be praying for you.
Thanks so much, Janet.
Our pleasure. Thank you for being here. Greg Steer, daretosharelive.org. We'll be right back. This Janet Mefford Today podcast is sponsored by Heart for Lebanon, the Christian ministry working among 2 million Syrian refugee families who've been displaced. For just $29 a month, you can help Heart for Lebanon reach out in Jesus' name to a family of six, providing them with food, Christian education, survival essentials, and the gospel. Please call now, 888-247-5499. That's 888-247-5499 or janetmefford.com. Welcome back to Janet Mefford Today. I just think it's so important for every single Christian to pay attention to how much emphasis this Trump administration is putting on religious freedom. I don't know if you saw what happened at the United Nations yesterday, but President Trump gave an address and is really going whole hog on the issue of religious freedom and religious liberty. This is huge. This is not some throwaway, oh, okay, well, he's doing a little something here, a little something there. He has put an enormous effort into defending religious freedom, and we will be the beneficiaries of it. And especially as he's going to the United Nations and trying to put international pressure on countries that are aiding and abetting religious persecution, this is likely to have a very big effect. The president was at this UN gathering. He urged every nation to increase the prosecution and punishment of crimes against religious communities and all communities, not just Christians, but Christians obviously will benefit from this. He announced the U.S. is going to launch some initiatives as well. But I want you to listen for yourself to what the president had to say at the UN yesterday at this event on religious freedom. This is Cut One.
The United States is founded on the principle that our rights do not come from government. They come from God. This immortal truth is proclaimed in our Declaration of Independence and enshrined in the First Amendment to our Constitution's Bill of Rights. Our founders understood that no right is more fundamental to a peaceful, prosperous, and virtuous society than the right to follow one's religious convictions. Regrettably, the religious freedom enjoyed by American citizens is rare in the world. Approximately 80% of the world's population live in countries where religious liberty is threatened, restricted, or even banned. And when I heard that number, I said, please go back and check it because it can't possibly be correct. And sadly, it was 80%. As we speak, Jews, Christians, Muslims, Buddhists, Hindus, Sikhs, Yazidis, and many other people of faith are being jailed, sanctioned, tortured, and even murdered, often at the hands of their own government, simply for expressing their deeply held religious beliefs. So hard to believe. Today, with one clear voice, the United States of America calls upon the nations of the world to end religious persecution.
That's excellent. If you think about this, for a moment. The reason that the United States has a First Amendment, the reason that we stand so strongly as a nation on the issue of religious freedom is because of Christianity, folks, because of the Bible. That's the undergirding force behind all of what we have in terms of God-given rights that are protected in our founding documents. And we do well to remember that and to remind people of that over and over and over again. For the United States of America to be standing, as President Trump did and Vice President Mike Pence did at the UN, and saying these things is huge. This is huge. It is not an accident that where you have countries where there's Sharia law, that they're not fighting for religious freedom. It's not an accident that when you see radical Hinduism taking hold in a nation, they're not fighting for religious freedom. It's where the countries have a biblical foundation and a biblical history and a lot of Christians in the population that freedom can flourish, because we understand what the word says about the freedom of man. And we want to extend that same sort of freedom, and God is the one who extends that kind of freedom to every man, regardless of whether or not he is worshiping the true God or worshiping an idol, because we don't believe in putting a sword up to somebody and saying, convert to Christianity. We want all men to be free so that we have the freedom as Christians to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ and pray that the Lord will save people. It works all the way around. But it is especially important, I think, for Christians right now, because our religious freedom is not threatened the way it is in the Middle East, for example, and other parts of Africa, and where there is tremendous persecution of Christians in various parts of the world. But we are seeing a growing soft persecution in the United States and in the West, and we're seeing this encroachment every single day. So this is really important. He also announced this new initiative and describes a little bit more about what's going on in the world. Listen to cut two.
In recent times, the world has also witnessed devastating acts of violence in sacred places of worship. In 2016, an 85-year-old Catholic priest was viciously killed while celebrating Mass in Normandy, France. In the past year, the United States endured horrifying anti-Semitic attacks against Jewish Americans at synagogues in Pennsylvania and California. In March, Muslims praying with their families were sadistically murdered in New Zealand. On Easter Sunday this year, terrorists bombed Christian churches in Sri Lanka, killing hundreds of faithful worshipers. Who would believe this is even possible? These evil attacks are a wound on all humanity. We must all work together to protect communities of every faith. We're also urging every nation to increase the prosecution and punishment of crimes against religious communities. There can be no greater crime than that. This includes measures to prevent the intentional destruction of religious sites and relics. Today, the Trump administration will dedicate an additional $25 million to protect religious freedom and religious sites and relics.
So that's a lot of money to try to protect religious relics and statues and those sorts of things around the world. And I'm not exactly sure what all that will pertain to. You do think, though, of a few years back when ISIS was going around and destroying Christian churches and statues and these sorts of things in the Middle East. So, you know, this is it's symbolic. It is symbolic. And it is important to take a stand of that nature. Now, another initiative was announced. This one in particular, I said, now this is going to be good. Listen to cut three.
We're also pleased to be joined today by many of the partners from the business community as we announce a very critical initiative. The United States is forming a coalition of U.S. businesses for the protection of religious freedom. This is the first time this has been done. This initiative will encourage the private sector to protect people of all faiths in the workplace. And the private sector has brilliant leadership. That's why some of the people in this room are among the most successful men and women on earth. They know how things get done, and they know how to take care of things, and they're with us now for the first time to this extent, first time ever.
Now, this is why I think that this should raise your antenna. When you have the Trump administration organizing an initiative in which private businesses in the United States will begin to stand up for religious freedom in the workplace, that struck me right away as a counterattack against the LGBT movement. And here's why I say that. If you have a teacher, for example, in a public school, a Christian teacher in a public school, and you have a situation like they have, you know, someplace like California where they're introducing an LGBT curriculum, and this teacher is saying, I'm not going to teach this gender madness to kindergartners. I'm not going to teach this to fourth graders and tell them that they can choose whatever sex they want to be and they can self-identify as whatever they feel like on Monday. I'm not going to do that. That's not true. Well, the activists would say, do it or else. And if a teacher says, for example, I'm a Christian and I'm not going to go against what is good and true, and I'm not going to put a millstone around my neck in misleading one of these little ones, I'm not going to do it. If you have religious freedom in the workplace to an extent that is important, then that teacher would not have to worry about being dismissed. And you know that story about that teacher. There was a male teacher, French teacher, I think it was, who would not use the wrong pronoun for a little boy who believed he was a little girl, and he lost his job. This is where the rubber meets the road, folks. It really is. And this is a very big deal that President Trump is doing this. It really is. Not to mention the fact that you have the Human Rights Campaign putting out its corporate equality index every single year, strong-arming companies to do every single LGBT thing that they demand. You know, this is good. Organize a coalition of private businesses who are saying, no, we stand up for religious freedom. We're all equal under the Constitution, but we're not going to play this game game that you guys are playing. It's just wonderful, and I'm glad to see it happening. We're going to come back on Janet Mefford Today right after this. Stay with us.
Hi, I'm Kevin Sorbo. I wanted to invite you to offer your full support for the Ministry of Preborn and its leader, Dan Steiner. The team at Preborn is very focused and very successful at saving preborn babies from abortion. Now get ready to write down the phone number and the website so you can join the Preborn team.
Join Kevin Sorbo and me, Janet Mefford, as we support Preborn. The mission at Preborn is to supply pregnancy centers throughout America with sonograms. Ultrasounds are a game changer when it comes to saving babies' lives. You see, when an abortion-minded woman sees her baby on ultrasound and hears the heartbeat, she's 80% more likely to keep her baby. Your gift of $140 will cover the cost of 5 ultrasounds. All donations are tax deductible. You can help save a baby's life by donating to Preborn. To donate, call now 855-402-BABY. That's 855-402-BABY. 855-402-2229. Or there's a banner to click at janetmefford.com. There's been a leftist takeover within conservative Christianity. Ungodly socialist ideas are coming to prominence. Ideas like social justice, critical race theory, and cultural Marxism. And leading figures within mainstream evangelicalism are showing themselves to be untrustworthy as shepherds and guardians of the truth. If you're a Christian who wants to know what to do about this serious shift away from biblical truth, then I invite you to join me at the upcoming Stand Against Marxism conference, taking place October 18th and 19th in Des Moines, Iowa. Hosted by the Enemies Within the Church Project, the Stand Against Marxism conference will inform you about this dangerous infiltration of postmodern thought, connect you with other concerned Christians, and teach you how to defend biblical Christianity in your own church. Register now for the Stand Against Marxism conference, October 18th and 19th in Des Moines, Iowa. For more information, you can visit standagainstmarxism.com. That's standagainstmarxism.com. See you there. Janet Mefford Today. We want to thank each and every one of you who have been supporting Heart for Lebanon. What a wonderful ministry these guys have. I'm telling you, we have been doing these wonderful outreaches with Heart for Lebanon for the last several years, and I just love this ministry. I really do. They are making such a big difference with the gospel of Jesus Christ and practical help over in the tent settlements of Lebanon where so many Muslim refugees are coming. This is an open door like has not been there in forever. And I just want to tell you about one example of what I'm talking about. Hanifa is a 10-year-old little girl who lost her mom when she was just a toddler. And Heart for Lebanon met her as they were out there delivering food portions to her family. She was a really cute little girl, really full of life, but she's been through some incredibly hard times. She had no opportunity for formal education, but every morning she wakes her dad up early in the morning when the Hope on Wheels educational fun truck is scheduled to arrive. This is in the tent settlement areas, and they sometimes show up 2 hours early just so they don't miss a thing. And they did a skit recently about the love of God. And when they did, Hanifa placed her faith and trust in Jesus Christ for salvation. And now she's reading the Bible to her father every single evening because he can't read. And this family, even though they're living in very difficult circumstances, they're starting to realize that the hope that they have is in Jesus Christ, and the hope that only gets provided because people like you are generous enough to give. We are asking if you are able to give $29 a month, your investment will help rescue a child like Hanifa and a whole family of six with Christian education, with food, with survival essentials, and the gospel of Jesus Christ. And they'll get this for an entire year for $29 a month. That's 98 cents a day. So we want to help as many families as we can. We ask you to please pray about it. Please call 888 888- 888-247-5499. 888-247-5499. Or there is a banner to click at janetmefford.com. And we thank you so much for your generosity and your love for people. It's just such a practical way of being able to get the gospel to people on the other side of the world. So we appreciate it. Again, 888-247-5499. Well, I want to pick up. We were talking a little bit about the UN event on religious freedom, and President Trump was there, Vice President Pence. It was fantastic. This is so great. It really is the way that this administration is working for religious freedom. And you also have to remember that there are Christians behind the scenes who are working on this, who have been working with the president of the United States and urging him to make these moves. And the fact that they're there and working, people like Franklin Graham, people like Tony Perkins, people like, you know, so many people behind the scenes. There's so many people behind the scenes. Pastor Robert Jeffress, I could go on and on. So we need to thank God that they're there as well. But I want to go to a story very quickly from Wesley J. Smith from National Review. He's got a new piece over at the American Spectator. And as we were discussing this LGBTQ presidential forum on yesterday's show, this really struck a chord with me. It's what comes after transgender. Make room for the transabled, and hospitals and doctors forced to perform operations that conflict with their ethical and religious principles. Again, we're back to the issue of religious freedom. This is what he says. A California Court of Appeals recently ruled that a Catholic hospital could be sued for refusing to allow a biological woman to receive a hysterectomy as part of her transition process from female to legally recognized male. They can be sued for that, for saying, no, we're not going to remove your womb because you believe you're a man. The hospital is called Dignity Health of Sacramento, and it adheres to the principles of Catholic medicine, which holds that removing a healthy organ in a situation in which there's no biological pathology, which would also sterilize the woman, by the way, violates church dogma. But the court said, too bad. The hospital discriminated based on sexual identity, and so the allegedly wronged patient has the right to seek redress. Okay, these are the days in which we're living now, where increasingly these progressives in the courts are saying, you got to force the doctor to do the abortion. You got to force the doctor to remove a perfectly healthy womb from a woman who has confusion in her head. She doesn't have anything at all wrong with her body. It's all confusion in her head. But he takes a look at where this is headed. And what he talks about is this issue of transabled people. What am I talking about? It's these people with this body identity disorder. And maybe you've seen this before. I think there's been, you know, various reports about this where somebody wants to, a young woman, for example, wants to be blind. She wants to be blind. So she has a doctor help her put bleach in her eyes, and then she goes blind. And I mean, what kind of responsible doctor would do that? Nobody. Nobody. But if you have a progressive court system and radicals who are trying to make this happen, and if they would do that with transgenders, then what's the next frontier? Well, he says it could be this transabled frontier. Will we get to the point in our hospitals with our doctors where there will be a directive that whatever the patient wants, the patient gets? Well, that's no longer being a doctor. That's being a hired gun. That's just, yeah, it is kind of ironic. It strikes me as a bit ironic because for a lot of us as patients, I'm sure, and I know I've had this experience, I've had doctors who were just dead wrong about something. And so it's important to be able to have a choice of doctors. It's important to be able to speak to your doctor and raise concerns if you believe that what is being recommended is not actually right for your child or right for yourself. Doctors can be wrong. And guess what? So can patients. Doctors know this more than anybody. A patient can come in, hey, doc, I need some more opioids, stronger. I need a higher dose. You know, no, you're not going to get a higher dose. You're going to get addictive. There are many times, I'm sure, in the course of a doctor seeing patients where he has to rein them in and say, no, that's not what's best for you. And that's part of the job. So let's go to one of these reports. This was from Barcroft TV. They did a report a few years back on a woman named Chloe who wants to be permanently paralyzed. This is an example of these transabled individuals. Listen to cut four.
Chloe Jennings White spends her days confined to a wheelchair. It's tough to get around, and she struggles with living in a world that isn't built for the disabled. However, Chloe is actually able to walk perfectly and chooses to live her life like a paraplegic due to a rare psychological disorder called BIID. Despite wishing she was paralyzed, Chloe still takes part in extreme sports like skiing. BIID has led Chloe, a Cambridge University educated research scientist, to harm herself in a bid to become paraplegic for real.
I have fantasies about having a car wreck and becoming paraplegic from a car wreck.
Perhaps most shockingly of all, London-born Chloe is on a quest to find a surgeon willing to operate in order to paralyze her legs forever.
I did find a surgeon in another country who would be prepared to do femoral and sciatic nerve transections to paralyze my legs. It would be at least $25,000. I don't have the money to do it.
I mean, isn't that horrible? Don't you feel so sorry for this woman? You don't. Why would you want to be paralyzed? Somebody help this woman. Well, they say during the course of the report that she visits a psychotherapist and talks to him as often as she can, but it doesn't seem like he's doing her a whole lot of good. And I don't know much about this disorder except that it's, you know, off the rails. And Wesley Smith asks, will we ever take the next step and ethically and legally authorize respectable doctors to do to these body identity integrity disorder patients what the rogue psychologist did to his based on their subjective mental states? And he's referencing, you know, people who have wanted amputated limbs, for example, and somebody went along with it. But again, why not? There's growing advocacy now in medical and bioethics journals for permitting elective amputations of healthy limbs or taking other actions in the medical context to disable the transabled person as a treatment. And if once we do permit willing medical professionals to disable their body identity patients, will it eventually become legally mandatory, as happened in the Dignity Health transgender case in California? It's hard to see how it couldn't. According to prevailing mainstream bioethics and medical establishment dogma, doctors are ethically obligated to provide any legal procedure a patient wants that will obtain the benefit desired as defined by the patient. And this includes acts that take innocent human life. As I mentioned before, doctors like in Ontario, Canada, who are forced to do abortions. He says he really believes that it might be 10 years before disabling surgery is routinely permitted in Western hospitals and 15 before hospitals and doctors lose their right to say no. And, you know, anytime you make projections about the next crazy thing that's going to come up and be mandated, it's never as long as we think it will be. So who knows? It could be 3 years. It could be 2 years. Who knows? No. This is why religious freedom matters. This is why it matters to have pushback. This is why it matters to stand on our First Amendment. This is why it matters for good people who do have common sense and do not want to subscribe to this deadly and dangerous ideology to fight back, to stand up to this garbage, to fight for our rights, to say loudly and clearly, you people are off the rails. And then stand on the word of God and stand on truth, moral truth, biological truth. We have to uphold the truth in a time when lies are everywhere we look. So pray for our president, pray for our country. Thanks for joining us. Always great to have you along here at Janet Mefford today. God bless you, and we will see you next time.